get this started. David, you're in town? How many days are you here for?
Till Tuesday.
So we lose you on Tuesday. Steve, we lose him on Wednesday. Testing. Okay, we're good. Amen. All right.
I got on a day early, but I got on Tuesday.
Unfortunately, we don't want that to happen, but all good things come to an end at some point in place and time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a couple things we want to try and get settled out this morning. Number one, I forgot to give you guys your candy last week. I did on the awards day read off who had the perfect attendance. That was Carmen Dawson, Michelle Renard, Lilia Stanzo, and memory verse perfection was Rose, Lilia, Takesha, and Mark and Michelle Renard. So they got those. Annette was our secretary. And so I did pass around the candy, but not everybody got some candy. So if you did not get some candy, go ahead and take one, pass it around if you didn't get yours. If you didn't get a book, raise your hand and I will get you your book. David, need your book.
Oh, we don't. We weren't here.
All right, you guys got some?
No, we don't have a book.
The candy?
Oh, we don't. We didn't earn that way.
All right.
I already have some candy.
It's free, brother. Amen. Might as well take it and give it to the kids. Amen.
Oh, I have enough.
Reward them for good behavior. So I got to do my children. I hold their candy hostage for good behavior.
Oh, yeah, I have to go back.
If they don't have good behavior, they don't get candy. Amen. All right. So one preliminary thing that we need to discuss here is we want to do a class activity, but we need to find out what does everybody like to do. So give me some suggestions that we can do. And with our class activity, should we do it with our children or without our children? So that's the feedback I need to get. So give me some things. Bowling is something we can do. Picnic is something we can do. Last time we had all the families over to our house. We played some games and had some food. So what do we want to do? Give me some feedback, some suggestions. What do we want to do as a class? What do we like to do? Everybody likes to bowl?
Eat.
Eat is definitely good. Amen. Okay, so bowl. Now, do we bowl with kids or bowl without kids?
Without. But it's hard to set up. But,
you know. So bowling without kids. Normally, if you bowl without kids, you can normally rent several lanes for about 2 hours, and then you can bowl as much as you want to. What is another activity that we could do? And with these activities, a Saturday work for most folks, like a Saturday afternoon, between 12 and 2, something like that, 12 and 3. Don't want to get you out too early, but don't want to keep you too late either. Bowling, what is something else that we can do? Suggestions?
You know, there's this cute little place. I got to figure out where it's at. It's like this little tea place. It's really beautiful, very quaint, nice little china that they have. I don't know.
I've heard of it. I think it's an Oracle. I've been there.
I think it is in that direction. And you go in there, and then they just give you little little snacks, like little small little things. So that's maybe something we could do, just to go in there and fellowship.
Okay. And what's the description of that? I can write something on here.
The description of
the place.
It's a beautiful little building. I think it has a dome on top of it, and you can purchase little things in it. I went there with the Budgets, and they had me do a devotion for their ladies there, and it was cute. I don't know how the guys would like it though.
Yeah, it sounds like a lady thing.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a ladies' day out while the kids and us guys can go to the shooting range.
That's
or
right.
Something like that, you know.
No, we can do paintball.
Paintball.
Hey, that is paintball.
What about putt putt golf? Everybody like putt putt golf? No?
Yeah, I like putt putt golf.
Oh, but
I mean,
I don't know what is that.
You play miniature golf.
It's cheap golf.
Little holes.
It's cheap golf. Cheap, easy golf, amen. So that's something we could do. Ladies could also do something separate from the guys, and guys would do something like the shooting range or something like that.
Maybe like the weather's not too bad, the park, so if you do bring the kids, they can play around a little bit, like in the play area with the dolls top or something. So like, have like a little picnic or something out in the parks.
Is there a good park for that?
For doing
I'm not familiar with Tucson.
Well, yesterday we went to this, it's called Jacobs Park. You would not believe the playground. It's like huge, and it had so much for the kids to do there. It was amazing.
Jacobs Park?
Yeah.
It's over off of
Fort Low and, is it Fort Low?
No, it's Fairview and Prince.
Oh, yeah, Fairview
and Prince.
Yeah, it's next to a YMCA, so that, I think that's why it's got so much, because it's next to a YMCA. Mm-hmm. And the park is just, oh my, because I didn't even see it yesterday. It's like, are they lying or where they at? And I keep going looking for them because it was so huge.
Honey, what's the name of that park with the ducks and the fish?
Agua Caliente.
That's nice.
So there's some things that we can do, like say, ladies can do a shopping trip, something like that, or men can do a shooting range or something like that. We can do bowling without our kids, putt-putt, the shop that Carmen mentioned. We can do this Jacob Park, any other ideas. And what we want to do is just kind of assemble a list of things that we can as a class do, and then kind of periodically add to it and then pull and say, okay, what do we want to do, for this activity? These are some options that we have. And so if you have some things that you would like to see, you can get those to my wife, and we can start building this list up, or you can get them to Annette, and then she can pass those to my wife, and we can kind of begin doing some things to see what we want to do. Or we can do the old-fashioned thing, is have you guys all to our house for some food, and then we'll talk about what we want to do at that time while we eat. So that's something that we can do as well. And last time we just had a fellowship at the house, and we played some games and just had a good time. So keep that in your mind and your hearts, because we do want to do another activity. That was, when did we do that, November, December? Somewhere in there, I think. October, November, December?
I think it was.
Or was it in the spring?
It was in November. I don't remember. I think
it was
more
January,
like
February.
January, February.
I think it was February.
Okay. I know it was cool.
Yeah.
I know that, so the kids were outside, and that was a good place for them. So anyway. All right, so give me some feedback. Let me know what you guys want to do, and we'll try to begin to build this list up.
It was March 21st.
March 21st. Oh, okay, March 21st. That way, it wasn't that long ago. Okay, so we want to do another activity here coming up soon. So if push comes to shove, we'll just have you guys all back to the house, and then decide from that point what we can build our list up to include. So keep me posted on that, and I'll keep a running tab of that. All right. Anybody else have any suggestion we can add to the list? Anything you guys like to do besides eat?
Yeah.
And besides put the kids in someone else's chart so we can have a couple time. that's a premium there.
All around.
Amen. And I am going to keep my ears open for a marriage retreat in the local area, something that we don't have to go far for. That we could get involved with. I think the last retreat that we went to was the one that Brother Baldwin did years ago up in Phoenix, and we went to the hotel up in Phoenix, fabulous hotel, Embassy Suites. I mean, it was awesome. And Brother Baldwin did a retreat up there. Sun and Shield sponsored it, and we just joined in on it. And so I will keep my ears open for marriage retreats that are here in the local areas. We don't have to go that far for them, and those are always a blessing. They're always refreshing, and normally I will always look for certain speakers that I already know that will do a very, very good job. Brother Baldwin was awesome as far as getting into the intricacies of relationships. He wasn't squeamish. He didn't bat an eye. He told it like it was, and so did his wife. So we really appreciate what they did, so we'll keep our ears open for that. Well, amen. Let's go to Proverbs 24 and verse 3. That was our jumping verse that we had, and that was your memory verse as well. This week, we're going to throw in verse number 4 as well. So you'll have Proverbs 24, and you'll have verses 3 and 4 coming up. So Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, and we'll quote that. And verse both of those, as a matter of fact, we'll quote 3, because that's one that I assigned you. Do with it and house build it. My understanding is established. I'll give you guys the understanding of that verse again, give you more of the understanding of verse 4, and then we'll continue on what we left off in the book. Amen. All right, everybody got Proverbs 24 and verse number 3. Everybody got that? All right, let's say that one together. Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Help us, Lord, to now maximize our marriages, to get the most out of what you've given to us. Lord, I pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to our hearts and a refreshment to our soul. Help us as we look at some future activities as to what we can do, where we can go, and what we can be a part of, Lord. And I thank you that this class will continue to grow and help us to do our part to bring others in and let them know the beauty of having this class for couples. Thank you for loving us. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. If you're just getting your book now, one of the first things I want you to notice is in the front side of your cover. If you look in the front side of your cover, there's the disclaimer there about some of the versions of scripture used in here. Not all the scripture in here is King James, and so I want to let you know we do not, under any circumstance, endorse the other versions. So every scripture verse that is referenced, we will look up in the King James. So just so that you know that, there may be some other things cited here, but that's not what we stand for as a church. And we cover the index there on page number 3, the table of context, what it's going to involve. And then we talk about how to utilize this book. And this book is going to be utilized as a class participation. So it's not going to be like a counselor where, you know, you go home and you discuss some things. Now, you can discuss some things if you want to, but primarily most of the discussion will happen here in the class. But that does not preclude you from going home to discuss it with your spouse. I encourage that if you get that opportunity, but not everybody has that time. So we will talk about most things in class. And so that's what we talked about there on page number 4 and 5. And then we come over to page number 6. And in that second paragraph, very boldly, it says, don't look for perfection, look for improvement. As you're looking to see some things happen in your marriage, you're not looking for a perfect marriage, you're looking for an improved marriage. And so keep that in mind, and keep that in mind as you deal with your spouse as well. You're not going to get a perfect spouse. The only perfect spouse that you have is Jesus Christ, amen? But as far as us, we're flesh, we're blood, and so we're going to not be perfect. That's just the fact of the matter. So down into the introduction to your journey, we wrote out the verse there, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4 on those lines. Let me just quickly recap what some of the words meant. Through wisdom. Wisdom, we said, is the correct application of biblical knowledge. So it says, through wisdom is an house. House means family or dwelling. Is an house builded. Build means to repair or to make. And it says, and by understanding, and understanding we found out was reasoning, discretion, intelligence, or skill. It says, it is established. And establish, we look that up, it means to set up, to erect, or to prepare. So verse 3 in and of itself just basically says then, through the correct application of biblical knowledge, which is wisdom, is an house or a family builded or repaired or made, and by understanding or reasoning or discretion or intelligence or in skill, it is established, it is erected, it is fixed, it is prepared, it is set up. And that's what we want. We want to make sure that we have God's knowledge from the Bible apply to our families, build them up, strengthen them, and get them established so that we can do what God would have us to do. Now, verse number 4, let's look at that one. It says, and by knowledge, knowledge is awareness or perception or discernment. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled. Chambers there means the innermost parts. So if we're looking at our families, well, the Bible is saying if we do verse number 3 correctly by applying God's wisdom, his word to our families, and if we reason and use discretion with it, it's going to be fixed or established. And then by knowledge or awareness, it's going to have its chambers filled. It's going to be filled in its innermost parts. And again, speaking of your heart, your innermost parts of your heart and the family members and your husband and your wife and your children's, that will be filled up. And so it says, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The word there for precious means valuable. The word there for pleasant means delightful. Riches means wealth. And so God is saying that you will have a productive and a prosperous family life and a couple life if you apply his word. That's it in a nutshell, okay? So that was the jumping verse that we used last week. Memory verse for this week will be verse number 4. So next week when we come back together, or a week after that, I should say, because next week is anniversary, we'll do verses 3 and 4. So mark that down. So any questions on those two verses under introduction to your journey dealing with through wisdom as a house building by understanding is it established? Any questions on that before we move on? Because we're going to start going back to the book where we left off at last week. Last week was pretty much just an introduction, and we didn't talk about a whole lot today. We were hoping to move on a little bit and then discuss some things as we come up to those things, okay? Any questions thus far? At all? No, David, you weren't here. Nicole, you weren't here. The shirts weren't here. And the rest of us were here. But now some folks that were here then aren't here today. So it'll be a switch off. Amen. Okay. So take your books then. Let's start on page number 7. And we're going to show you where we left off at. We're going to talk about some things here. Okay. Understanding the deal. That's chapter number 1. And we're talking about maximizing your marriage by understanding the deal. Now, understanding the deal. What is the deal? Is that we're married. Okay? We're married. We're committed. And so when you understand the deal, it's not something that you say, okay, I want a new deal. Okay? This is the deal that we have together with God agreed upon. And so we got to say, okay, I don't want another deal. I'm going to stick with this deal. And we read that first paragraph there, and we read the second paragraph there last week and talked about that. Marriage is not about falling in love. It's something that you got to work on daily and remain faithful and true to and committed to. The second paragraph there talks about falling in love makes you think of something that is missing because you begin to romanticize, okay? And so falling in love means that I can fall out of love, and we talked about that, and that's where we stopped at. Now notice this very next paragraph. Even loving someone with all your heart is not enough for a maximum marriage. Now, question, why is that true? Loving someone with all your heart is not enough for a maximum marriage. Why is that true? A true statement? Loving someone, you say, well, I love you with all my heart. That's not enough. Why is that true?
I guess it's got to be accomplished by actions.
Got to be accomplished by an action, okay.
Accompanied by action.
Now, should I love someone with all my heart? Yeah, I should. But why is that a true statement? That's not enough. What was that?
Needs work.
We need God's. You need God's grace.
Need God's grace. Okay.
It's not a one-person job. I mean, God, you give 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You pray the other person gives 100%, but you cannot. You can never guarantee that. The other person you can't control.
That's true. That's true.
And so it's got to be a work of God.
Amen. It's got to be a work of God. Okay. Why else is that a true statement? It's not enough. Say, I love you with all my heart.
Because of the way our hearts are.
Ah, she's on to something. My heart could love you today. What can it be tomorrow? Hey. You know, you wrong me. You cross that line and you do something the unthinkable. And guess what? And I don't love you so much. And so now if I'm loving you with all that heart, what is that? That's not good, is it? So my heart then is faulty. So if I love you with all my heart, that's not enough because my heart's faulty. So it's not the love that's faulty, it's the heart where the love comes from that's faulty. And so to just say, well, I love you with all my heart is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough because my heart is going to change from thing to thing. Okay? Notice what he goes on to say here. Even loving someone with all your heart is not enough for a maximum marriage. In the Bible, the heart refers to the seat or core of your emotions. How many emotions go up and down? We got anger, we've got bitterness, we've got fear, we've got frustration. I mean, what are some other emotions? We got joy. What other emotions we have?
Depression.
Sorrow. Happiness. I mean, you name it. I mean, they go from highs to lows. And we can get them just like that. Sometimes, ladies, you can't control them when it's that time of the month and it's that cycle. You can't control them. They're just out of control. And the best you can, amen, you just got to pray God will give you the grace to get through it. Because your hormones are out of control and you cannot balance that. That's, as Steve said, the grace of God to get through that, amen. Husbands just have to pray and grit and bear it, amen. Children, bless their hearts, they're just all lost in the whole deal. children don't have a clue. What's wrong with mommy? She was smiling just a few minutes ago, and now she's crying. What's wrong? You know, and is it something I did? Is it something I said? No, it's not you at all. It's your dad. So, you know, it's one of those things. They're highs and lows. So it's our core of emotions. So if that is true, if my heart is the core of emotions and it's all over the place and it's predicated upon so many other variables, can that be a successful gauge of me loving someone with that capacity? No, that's not going to work. It's not going to work because I'm going to hit and miss at best. So notice what it goes on to say. What does Jeremiah 17:9 reveal about your heart? Let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9. Because loving someone with all our heart is just not going to be enough. Jeremiah 17:9. And many of you probably know that verse already. And who's there that can read that for me? Go ahead, Annette.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Amen. Heart deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, what does Jeremiah reveal about our hearts? Well, first of all, it says the heart is deceitful. Now, what does deceitful mean? Deceitful, I looked that up, means to be crooked or fraudulent or polluted. How many of y'all like to go in the grocery store and get some crooked, fraudulent, polluted meat? Feed that to your kids, feed that to your husband, feed it to your wife. Some fraudulent, crooked, polluted meat. So it's deceitful. Now, what makes it that way? The heart. How'd it get that way?
Our sinful nature.
Sin, our sinful nature. So because we inherited a sinful nature now, we've got a deceitfulness about ourselves and our heart. So it says the heart of man is deceitful above all things. Now, how many things is it above? Man, you mean to tell me my emotions are deceitful above all things? They're gonna betray me, it's gonna fool me, it's gonna bamboozle me at times? You mean to tell me when I'm loving someone with all this guy, is faulty? Yeah, it is. It is. And it's faulty above all things, it says, and desperately wicked. The phrase desperately wicked means to be frail, to be feeble, to be incurably sick, or to be woeful. So my heart is crooked, it's fraudulent, it's polluted, and it's also frail and feeble and incurably sick. It's woeful. And then he says this, who can know it? How many of you have already planned to do something and then the situation comes up and you don't do what you said you were going to do? You know why you did that? Our hearts are deceitful. We said in our heart, I'm going to do this. And then the situation came up and we didn't do that. Here we go. That's what happened. I mean, I can be upset with my children, say, all right, this and that and the other. You know, all right, I'm going to get you in a few minutes. And then I get a phone call and this, that, and the other. And then I said I was going to get him and I forget what happened. My heart's desperately wicked. Did I mean to get them? Yeah, I did. But I forgot. And they're not going to remind me. Now, faith will. Faith will say, Daddy, you said you were going to get me. Well, thanks for reminding me. The boys didn't remind me, so I'm going to get you off and not remind me. Yes. But it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Notice what it goes on to say after that. Your heart or feelings are very deceitful because they change. Now, go right back to verse number 10 and Jeremiah 17. Notice what it says. I, the Lord, search the heart, as Steve brought out. We need the grace of God. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So God says, you know what? I'm the only one that can try and test this thing here. And how's he going to test it? By his word. By his word. And that's why it started off with Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Through wisdom is an house builded. By understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Because now God is trying our hearts. Because our hearts are not what we think they are. Come down here. Your hearts or feelings are very deceived because they change, but the love that maximizes the marriage doesn't, because it is a commitment you make. Now, commitment. Let me go to the handy dandy dictionary here. Give me some definitions. What does commitment mean?
Following through no matter what.
Following through no matter what? Amen. Somebody else. What does commitment mean? Yes, Lily?
It's something that you vow.
Something that you vow. Yeah. Amen. All right. Commitment. What else? These are all good. Commitment. Anybody else?
Dedicated in all circumstances.
Dedicated in all circumstances, okay, amen. Okay, commit, okay, here we go, commit. The dictionary said to deliver for safekeeping, to entrust, to consign, to put in custody or confinement, to do or to bind as by a promise or pledge, to make a pledge. And so all of those are agreements to carry out or to follow through. I wrote down here, it's an obligation, it's a dedication, it's to be devoted, it's to be impelled, it's an agreement to do something. Now, according to the very first marriage, what did God say about that very first marriage in Genesis 2:24? Let's go over there real quick. What did God say about the very first marriage, Genesis 2:24? Very first marriage. Genesis 2:24. Who's there can read Genesis 2:24?
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Okay. So the Bible says here, he's going to leave his father, he's going to leave his mother, he's going to cleave or join to his wife. They're going to be how many fleshes?
One.
One flesh. Can you divide one and it still be whole?
No.
What does it become when you divide one?
Half.
Well, it's two separate entities, amen. But it becomes a half. It becomes a fraction. So in other words, when you break the marriage relationship, you have fractured it, and it becomes a fraction. It's not whole anymore. And so God said they're going to be one. How many of you ever read the account where when Adam bit of the apple, and he pointed to Eve, and he said, you tricked me, so I'm going this way, you go that way. Y'all read that story? When they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, once they got outside the garden, Adam said, all right, Eve, since you tricked me, you go that way, I'm going this way. You know, nobody read that account? Or what about the story where Eve said, you know, you're a low-down husband, you know, you ate that apple, you should know better. God told you, he didn't tell me anyway. I'm through with you. You go that way, I go this way. Y'all didn't read that account in the Bible? You know why? It's not there. They were one and they stuck it out, even though they plunged the whole of humanity into sin and depravity. Now we've got these wicked, desperately wicked hearts. They didn't sever. They didn't stop. They stayed together. It's bad. Now we think we got it bad. Now just think, you plunged the whole human race into sin yourself, and you got to live with that the rest of your life. And they lived long back in those days. That's deep. You were the parents of the first murderer. How'd you like to have that? Well, it's your fault. You raised the boy. Well, it's your fault. You raised the boy. You didn't make my mama's boy. He wouldn't have killed the boy. I mean, they didn't split up. Well, if you just spanked them enough, well, if you wouldn't have babied them, they didn't split up. Let's just have more kids now. So it says here, they're going to be one flesh, and so anything that you do to that, to take away from that, is going to divide it. Now it's not going to be a whole anymore. It's only going to be a fraction. So when divorce happens, you fracture the marriage. Now, praise God, you can get remarried, you can get a new spouse, but that initial marriage that you had now is fractured. Now, can God put the piece together and start over a new relationship? Yes, he can. Praise God that he can. And he does. And so now with the new relationship, what do? Be committed with a new relationship. Don't fracture this one. Say, I learned my lesson from the last one, so I'm going to stick this one out. I'm committed. One flesh, we're not going to pull that thing apart. I mean, how many of y'all seen Fireproof? When the guy put the two salt shakers together, the salt and pepper shaker together, and he said, you pull it apart, what happened? You would fracture it, you'd break it. You know, you'd fracture one or both parties. What happens in a divorce? You fracture one or both parties, and now there's not a whole anymore, okay? So back in our book there, it says that this is a commitment now. The truth is, even if you were not madly in love when you first got married, that's okay. You know, we think that you've got to be in love. By the way, you go back in Bible times, most of those were arranged marriages. How do you know love somebody you didn't even know, that you didn't even see? Can you imagine, David, if you know they just bought Stephanie home one day and Dad said, okay, here you go, David. And he said, well, what's this, Dad? It's your wife. Dad, I don't know her. That's okay, you'll be all right. It's your wife, you marry her, you'll be fine. And David says, do I have a say-so? No. Just marry her, you'll be fine. That's what they did back in the days. They bought a home, And here's your bride, you know, and normally he had some substantial finances to give the dad to show that I could take care of her. And that's what happened. You know, honey, what have you done? You know, your dad would have bought me home. Said, this is it.
It depends on how I was trained. If that was the way Daddy taught me, yes, Dad.
You're not going to question that. Eileen would have, you know, your mom, Dad just bought home. Steve said, here you go. Let's get married. Or other way around, Steve, here's Eileen, marry her.
I gave 2 camels and a goat.
You know, by today's standards, we think of that. We're thinking, what? Where's the love in that? Where's the romance? Where's the rosy lips and the, you know, the cheeks and, you know, all the, you know, fancy foo-fra? You know, there was no foo-fra back in those days. You know, like it or lump it. If you didn't like her, tough. You know, that's what you're getting, son. So when you look at this, it says you start where you are and you grow in love, not fall in love. Love's not a feeling or emotion you fall into. Love is a commitment you make to another person. How does 1 Corinthians 13:7 describe love? So let's go to the other page here and look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 7 and look at some things about love, because Paul here is talking about how love is better than any spiritual gift that is out there. And 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 7. And Takeshi, you got that?
Yes.
Read that for me, please.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Amen. So now, what is Paul talking about? It's about charity. He starts up in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, charity is love, or God's agape love, I have become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though, verse 2, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I have nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Love or charity suffereth long and is kind. Love or charity envieth not. Love or charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Notice this, is still love, beareth all things. Now, give me the definition of bear. The definition of bear, as I looked that up in the concordance, means, now this is gonna get you. It means, number one, to cover with silence. To cover with silence. What types of things in the marriage might we have to cover with silence sometimes?
Wrongs, offenses.
Wrongs, offenses, to cover with silence, or to put something over it silently. You know, you don't want to tell everybody outside your married relationship what's going on. You don't want to put your spouse down to someone else on the outside. You want to cover that with silence. You know, don't tell it. Keep that between you and the spouse. You know, everybody don't need to know that. Mama don't need to know that. Daddy don't need to know that. Children don't need to know that. Cover with silence. And that's what it means to bear all things. Certain things in a marriage relationship, you don't need to tell everybody. You go, girl, you know what he did this morning? He did this. You know, that she don't need to know. Girl's got her own problems.
Doesn't it go beyond that, though, too? It's not to throw it back in the face of the other person.
It does. There's some other definitions here I'm going to give as well. To cover with silence, it means to suffer. That means I got to suffer with this. What's that? This commitment. It also means to roof over, or to put a protection over, to put a roof over. If we didn't have a roof here in the monsoon season or the sun, guess what? Some of you guys would perish. Amen? To roof over. So he says, love here beareth all things, or covers with silence all things, suffers all things, or puts a roof over all things. Then believeth all things. Believeth means to have faith in, or to credit, or to entrust something, or to count good on. So in other words, I'm going to count good on my partner. I'm going to make sure that I trust my partner. I'm going to have faith in my partner. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Then it says hopeth all things, to expect or confide in or trust. I can expect, or I can hope, or I can confide in my partner. Beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. This is what's going to get us. Endure, the word means to stay under a load. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Ladies, how many of y'all ever carried a big heavy laundry basket of clothes around the house? Imagine putting that on your back and carrying it around all day. to carry a load. So in a marriage relationship, there are certain things that are heavy that we're going to have to carry that load and put that load on our shoulders and not give up that load. It also comes with the idea of not just stand or load, but to remain or to undergo or to persevere. It also has the idea of putting up with or suffering with. Wow. So love does all that. Say, wow. But wait a minute, how can I love that way if my heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? That's a good question, isn't it? How can I love that way if my heart is not what it needs to be? How can we?
Die to self.
Die to self, amen, yes.
Only by God's grace, but when you see yourself, you know, for who you really are, it makes it easy.
Amen. Dying to self, seeing who I am, seeing my spouse through the eyes of God. I've got to see my spouse through the eyes of God. How much does God put up with us? How much does he bear with us or believe in us or hope in us and endure with us? How much does God put up with us? And so we have to look at our spouse through the eyes of God. God, you love my spouse just as much as you love me. And so if you can put up with my spouse, I can. How many has God kicked y'all out of his heaven? Nobody? He didn't kick you out? You sinned, he didn't kick you out of heaven? Say, I'm through with that. I'm through with that. That's it. You know, I gave you eternal life. Give me that back. No, God puts up with us because he knows who we are. We've got to be able to put up with that, like we mentioned last week, and not condemning our partner and not getting frustrated with our partner, although it happens at times. Notice what it says about love. Love is not an emotion or a feeling because emotions and feelings change. What is love? Love is an action. For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave. So it's an action. God loved us, and so he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so when you look at this, love, it says, is being committed to a person even when that person isn't very lovable. For God so loved the world that he gave. How many of us were just lovable and God said, oh, I just feel so good about giving my son for you. You're just the perfect person. None of us. We were desperately wicked. We were like Adam and Eve. But still, God said, you know what, I love you, so I'm going to give my son for you. You know, the guy that I was witnessing to on door knocking, you know, he said, well, I don't believe in heaven, I don't believe in hell. And I said, you know, God still believes in you. I said, because he made you. And so you're here. And I said, whether you believe in him or not does not deter God's love from being shed on you. For God to love the world that he gave. Love is that way. Notice love is being committed to a person when that person isn't very lovable. And the emotions or feelings are long gone. Love always perseveres, it always hopes, and it never gives up. And so when you look at this, these character traits of love, it's not an emotion, but it's going to bear with things, it's going to believe some things, it's going to hope some things, it's going to endure some things. And as Steve says, it goes further than that because love is going to be the core center of everything that we do. And the love has got to be predicated upon the commitment that I'm giving. Because I'm committed to you, my love now is going to grow in what I do for you through the power of God. It's going to grow. Okay? Notice this next paragraph because this is good. Very important for married couples. Okay, thanks, brother. Very important for married couples to know the difference between love and romance. Give me some definitions of romance. What is romance?
Infatuation.
Okay. What is romance? We all want romance in our marriages? Yeah, we do. But what will we say is the definition for romance?
The affection.
Affection? Okay. What else? Romance. Affection. We all want it, but we don't know what it is. That's why we're not getting it, amen.
Hearing sweet words.
Hearing sweet words. All right. Here's the definition, the literal definition of romance. A long poem or tale.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Written in a romance dialect about the adventures of knights. What do we always hear? The knight in shining armor is going to sweep me off my feet. And we're going to live happily ever after. Really? So it's a poem. Romance is a poem. It's a novel of love, adventure, etc. It goes on to say it's excitement of love. It's the kind found in literature. A love affair. Romantic, it says. of, like, or characterized by romance. Fanciful or fictitious. Not practical. This is in a dictionary about romance and romantic. It says not practical. It's visionary. It's full of thoughts, feelings, etc. It's suited for romance. It says it's a 19th century cultural movement characterized by freedom of form and spirit, emphasis on feelings and originality. So now you see why we're not getting romance. Because it's made up. It's a storybook. It's fairy tale. Now, do we want to hear sweet things? Yes, we do. Do we want to be caressed? Yes, we do. Yeah, but that's really not what romance is all about. That's not what it's all about. And so when we want those things, what do? We have to ask those things. Notice what it says there. And it's very important American couples know the difference between love and romance. Most people are surprised when they look up the words romance in dictionary. Dictionary defines romance as a fictitious tale of wonderful and extraordinary events characterized by a non-realistic and idealizing use of the imagination. Another definition is an exaggeration of fabrication that has no real substance. Romance is what most TV shows or movies mistakenly or deceitfully portray as love. Romance is nothing more than infatuation. And so that's why you've got to ask yourself, what's your definition of romance? You know, what is it? And whatever your definition of romance is, if that's what you want, then you've got to relay that to your spouse and say, this is what my definition of romance is. I know what the dictionary says about it being fictitious and blah, 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 but this is the real part of this fictitious. This is what I want to see. This is my romance. This is what is romancing to me. Amen. My wife, I know she likes water at night, so every night I'll get her a cup of cold water with ice in it, put it upstairs. I ended up drinking half of it, but anyway. But she likes that, you know, and, you know, woe be to me if she wakes up at night, she starts feeling for that cup and it's not up there. Hey, where's the romance at? What happened? The fire has died, you know, the water put it out. Amen. What happens? I know she likes that, and so it's something that I do. So romance, I've got to find out what it is my spouse likes, then try to do it. Amen? Notice this last paragraph, and we're going to have to quit. Marriage is based on love, not romance. Amen? Can we and should we have real romance? Yes. What is romance? It's going to be, for us, it's what I want, but it's going to help me feel good about my spouse's appreciation of me, whatever that is, whether it's flowers, hearing soft words, sitting next to me, talking to me, or whatever. You know, my wife last night, I need my husband. I said, okay, what do you need me to do? You know, come over and sit next to me. Amen. Come over and sit next to you. Okay? You know, she's directing me and telling me this is what I need right now. This is what I want from you right now. And she knows that I'm busy, so she's really hard-pressed to tell me anything. Like, well, you're doing something right now. Like, well, I have to stop what I'm doing and come over there. Amen. You want romance. Hey, here we go. I'll sit next to you. You know? So I've got to relay that to my spouse. What do I want to see? And let the spouse then deliver that. Notice it says, love is not an infatuation that goes away. It's a lifetime commitment you make to another person. Marriage is also a deal you make with another person. And with God, it's often a very difficult deal to keep at some point. Some couples would like to break it. Now, why is, now I'm going to leave you with this question. Why is the marriage commitment difficult to keep and it makes some people want to break it? We love ourselves, amen. Why is that so difficult? Notice that last one. It is often a very difficult deal to keep, and at some point, most couples would like to break it. Why is the marriage commitment difficult to keep, and why do many couples want to break it?
Like you said, a lot of people are selfish, and they just don't want to deal with another person's problems or their emotions or anything like that.
Amen. Don't want to bear all things, don't want to believe all things, don't want to hope all things, don't want to suffer all things, I really just don't want to put up with this. Which goes right back to, I'm selfish. If I join with this person here and I'm committed to this person, they've got needs, and my job then is to help them get through this time. Oftentimes we don't know how, so we need that spouse to direct us to help. What do you need? As men, we got to be honest, sometimes we don't have a clue.
We don't.
What do you need? Well, I don't know what I need. Well, if you don't know what you need, I don't know what you need. Help me out with something. You meet me halfway. Read my mind. I can't read your mind. I can read a book. You know, my mind. So think about that over the next week. And you know, we're going to talk about that. We'll pick up with that question because, you know, we've got to think about that because at some point in your marriage relationship, you may come to that road. And you may think, you know, let's just break it off. You got to understand the deal. This is not something that you break off because you're going to fraction it. You're going to splinter it. This is not an option. One flesh. And so I can't do this. But at some point, maybe it's something that the kids do, or maybe it's something that I do, or something that she does, or something the in-laws does, or something the job does, or something the finances do, something my health does, or something down here or over there or up here or wherever. Something they maybe want to break that commitment. And guess what? I can't. I can't. Why? That's why I got married. To bear all things. So keep that last sentence in mind, and we're going to discuss that next time. What is it about marriage that may make you want to give up, may make you want to quit, may make you want to throw in the towel? Yes, honey?
Hey, I was just going to say the suffering, you know, that we really do go through in our marriages and just in life, period. You know, it's amazing, but it just, you know, when you put it in the Lord's hands, it makes us just more beautiful, you know. And God can just use us in a special way if we just withstand, you know, and just go through it. Even though it's hard and uncomfortable, you're ready to run with different situations. But it really does. I believe most of the time, I think in my life, it purifies me and makes me more, you know, for God, which makes me more for my family.
Amen. That's right. Amen. So consider that question. It's often very difficult to keep the deal. And at some point, most couples would like to break it. What is it that would be so devastating or so hard that would make me even consider that? By the way, let me give you this. I'll say it many times throughout this course. For the Christian, the D word should not even be in my thought process. Divorce. That should never even be in my thought process. It shouldn't even cross my mind. Why? I didn't get married to divorce. I got married to stick with it. I got married to commit to it. It shouldn't be a thought. It shouldn't be a consideration. Now, might you say, man, this is tough? Yes. Might you say, this is hard? Yes. Might you say, man, when I was single, I had these problems. Yeah, it was only one of you. But now there's two of you. So for some of us, it's three, four, five of you. Amen. How many kids you got? So the D word, divorce, should never be in our vocabulary. It wasn't in Adam and Eve's. It wasn't in God's. And so it really shouldn't be in ours when it comes to breaking the commitment. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 are going to be our memory verses. No class next week because of the anniversary, but we'll be coming right back here the first week in October, picking up with that, and that'll be a blessing. Amen. Again, if you've got some ideas on what we can do as activities, please get those into Mrs. Dawson, myself, or Annette, and we'll start compiling a list of what we want to do, and then hopefully get an activity and do it. Amen. Father, thank you once again for your grace. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us of all sin. God, help us to really do an introspection in our own hearts and allow you to examine our lives that we may give ourselves totally and fully to you first and foremost, then give ourselves to our spouse, Lord, that they too may join in the blessings of having a redeemed life and a forgiven life of sin. And Lord, help us to nurture one another. Lord, help us through wisdom to know how to build the house that you've given us called our families, Lord, and use the knowledge that you've given us that we can get those riches and get those wealth things that you talked about in your word. God, guide us into the next session now. And Lord, give us a great time of refreshments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray for the Shirk family. They're going to be pulling out on Wednesday, and Steve will be having his surgery on the 30th. So pray for them. He'll be out of pocket here for probably about a month. And so we'll have to get you a CD on this, brother. So, yeah. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thanks for joining with us, Nicole.
You're welcome. I'm not going to be able to stay for the service because I have to go to work.
Well, I'm glad you got this part.
Oh, I'm going to take home your wife's kids.